Hi everyone, welcome to the timingresearch.com Analyze Your Trade, episode number 184 for January 11th, 2022. We are recording this at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. My name is David Kosmeter. I'm the creator of Timing Research, and today we'll be discussing your trade ideas. So I've arranged for Jake Bernstein to join us again. Great to have him back today. And the option professor is here to moderate again. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Okay, great, David, and great to be here on Turnaround Tuesday, which is certainly what's going on here today.
You bet.
So we're going to get into a lot of stuff here today, and it's going to be very interesting to hear Jake Bernstein's viewpoint here, first of the year here, because there's a lot of trading to be done in 2022. And so getting some of insight, we're very fortunate to get. So before we get into all that, let's get introduced. This is Jake Bernstein with us today. And Jake's going to give a quick background on himself, but that's very difficult to do because he's been in the business for a long time. But he's also going to let you know what's going on at his company a little bit too. So Jake, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much for having me back. I've been trading for 52 years, written about 45 books on trading. I'm a real trader. I trade practically every day. My work is purely technical. I know nothing about fundamentals. When I think I do, they fool me. So the technical is what I do. It's very specific. It's completely rule-based. It's completely algorithmic. So you won't find me expressing opinions, but just facts. And that's really all that's important about me.
Sure. And of course, we're going to go over a lot of different stuff here. One thing I did want to note, yesterday's show, if you can go on YouTube, the gentleman from AltaVest and myself, who are option-oriented, we noticed two things in the morning. One was that the VIX had spiked to 23 or 24, but was rolling down. And I was telling people that we had a 24-month SMA on my five-year graph that came in right around 45.60, 45.80. So it was also moving away from the low while the VIX was rolling over. And the gentleman from AltaVest did indicate that he was looking for a very, very sharp up move. So those who can tune into the YouTube show from yesterday can get some ideas on what we were looking at, which in hindsight, obviously, were very accurate. But let's go over some broad-based stuff first before we get into the list. And just what are you thinking on this S&P? We're in the 4,700 ballpark area. What's your feeling on the S&P currently, Jake?
It's a bull market. Nothing has changed. You've been bullish for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Typical shakeout.
Mm-hmm.
The market did exactly what it was supposed to do seasonally toward year end, which mm-hmm. was moving higher from December 1st to January the 4th. So it was a perfect cycle. I don't see anything to change my opinion here. The technical indicators mm-hmm. on a weekly basis remain very bullish for the next 3 months at least.
Obviously it's not a technical sign, but Powell talking about a longer horizon to get back to normalization, definitely threw some cold water on everybody who was freaking out a little bit. So that I think was helpful in addition to obviously the technicals turning. And like you're saying, the environment is still one of plenty of money in the corporations, plenty of money in the consumers' bank accounts, and ergo, you know, that's not a, and then the job market is fantastic. So that's not generally a big backdrop for a recession or anything like that.
Yeah, and an excellent opportunity for people to get in and intermediate term support. So if you're a trader, there's some great short-term trading opportunities coming in the next couple of days.
Okay.
If you're an investor, you had an opportunity to buy support over the last couple of days, as long as you didn't freak out.
Yeah, yeah. Like in other words, if we started blowing out 4,500 and closing down there, that would have been a horse of a different color.
And we can take a look at the chart if you want to a little bit later on. No.
All right. Well, let's start hitting this list here, and then we can get into more of your personalized ideas. We'll start out with, and this is a great list from the standpoint of you've got some tech in here, you've got some gold in there, you've got some telephone stocks in there, some health care, you know, pharma in there. So there's quite a bit to chew on here today. So let's get going. We'll start with NVIDIA, which obviously is a fantastic company, but it did have a big pullback. And the question is that pullback over?
So let me get it on the screen here, just a second.
Sure. NVIDIA.
Yep, got it right here. So I'm using a new charting platform that I haven't used very often before. It's Wealth Charts, a great service. And here's the NVIDIA chart, and you can see what happened here. Mm-hmm. We turned lower, actually mm-hmm. turned lower, and it turned into a bearish trend. So right now, it's a little bit too early to buy NVIDIA. In fact, with today's recovery, it should have done much better. So
yeah.
The daily remains down on NVIDIA weekly. We'll have an opportunity to buy it at support. So right now, still a short-term trade from the downside.
I got a question for you, because on my five, when the short-term stuff, first of all, we've gone through the roof. So the short-term stuff will turn negative at some point, but you've got longer-term graphs that obviously are not being as affected by the short-term fluctuation. So sometimes I'll switch from the one-year graph to the five-year horizon. And on my five-year horizon, I have a 24 SMA that comes in at 255, which is coincidental to the low that we've seen recently. Do you see that that 255 could be a line in the sand of which to trade against on any of the stuff you're looking at?
Well, in order to do that, Jim, we're going to switch to the weekly chart. Let me show you what I mean.
Yeah.
Can you take me a moment here to do this?
Because I don't think it's coincidental that it stopped at 255 because the SMA is right there, you know?
So here's the weekly chart coming right up. And you'll notice what's happened. This is the weekly chart come right down to the bottom of the channel support and a little bit lower. So in terms of the big picture, it's a very bullish chart. And when the channel gets wide like this, that's usually an indication that we're going to surge higher in the very near future. So a widening channel is very bullish in a bullish trend. And certainly none of the indicators have turned negative. So it's a buying opportunity intermediate term, by which I mean at least 10 to 15 weeks.
Yeah. And while it's not up tremendously today, it's certainly well off of that low that it made yesterday.
True enough.
You know, and that...
I have some other stocks, for example, Apple, which I'm going to bring up on the screen, which have come down and haven't even been able to hit support. So let me put up Apple.
Yeah.
Here you go. And so here's Apple weekly chart. And again, support at the bottom of the channel. We haven't even been able to hit it, which means it's an intrinsically strong stock.
So on NVIDIA, in short, looks like that low of 255 from yesterday is a line in the sand you could use to defend. And basically looking for more upside in the weeks ahead is pretty much the forecast.
I would say so. That's right.
Let's go to the yellow metal, the barbaric relic.
Which symbol you want to look at?
GDX.
So let's look at GDX first from the intermediate term standpoint.
Yeah.
So here's GDX. And you can see the intermediate term remains down, a turn down right over here.
Yep.
A lot of opportunities to go short.
Yep.
But on the daily, there was some significant action today, especially in the lower priced stocks, really significant. So let me bring up the daily chart here. One moment, please. There we go. And here's the daily, still bearish. But if you look at some of the cheaper stocks, they had some significant reversals today. For example, like Hecla. Let me bring up Hecla for a second here. Here we go.
Which is more on the silver side, right?
That's true. More on the silver side, but it had some significant reversals today.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's more and more.
If it gets above that 540 area, you probably get some neighbors buying, huh?
That's right. And you can also look at stocks like Eldorado Gold, EGO, and other cheapy. We found that in a bull market, the cheap stocks tend to have much better performance percentage-wise.
Oh, absolutely.
So there's the silver, the gold. So what else did you want to look at, Jeff?
Well, on GDX, just to give these people a little bit of a summation, would you say that closing above 32 would be really more of your green light than where it is right this second?
Well, what I need to see in GDX is this. I need to see the red line above the green line over here, above this line over here, which would be Williams Accumulation Distribution. Right. And I would need to see two complete bars above the top of the channel. So on that basis, Jim, it's nowhere, it's not even anywhere close to.
Right. But if we did matriculate to the 32-33 area, it might be indicating the train is going north.
It probably would, because there's been a lot of support in this area right over here.
So this is a classic one of, you know, the guy who buys it at 33 might be getting a better bargain than the guy who's buying it here, because at 33, you're buying a train that's moving, and here you're buying a train that you hope leaves the station.
One of the most important concepts in the market is you're much better off buying breakouts than you are buying at support.
Yeah. Yeah. Another one was always there's more money being made on the new high list than the new low list.
That's true.
Same idea. All right, let's turn to the new Cadillac of automobiles, Tesla, TSLA.
Just got delivery of my new Tesla a couple of days ago.
All righty.
Here we go. And here's Tesla still in a bullish trend. So when you got bars above the top of the channel, you've got Williams accumulation above its moving average. You remain in a bullish trend. So these are all buying opportunities right here indicated by plus signs on the chart.
And their deliveries were very, very good for Q4. So that is obviously a little bit of a tailwind.
Not only that, the service is incredible. They brought the new one to the house. They picked up the old one. They brought all the paperwork with them. signed all the paperwork. They took the old one back. They left the new one. Super incredible service.
Do you miss the DMV now, though?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
One of everybody's favorite places, the DMV.
Just love to hang out at the DMV.
All right, let's go over to Microsoft. Big blue nowadays. So it had a nice pullback. And I think similar to the Apple, maybe it might be a little bit of a bargain on the dip.
You know, the chart on Microsoft is actually bearish. If you look at it right here, the daily chart is definitely bearish. So okay. Of the two, I would definitely pick Apple. Absolutely. Yeah. If you want to go to the monthly or the weekly chart, you can buy Microsoft that support. But right now, you're actually catching a falling knife.
Yeah. Now, here's a good question for you. Do you find that if the daily is very much obviously turning down on Microsoft like this, but the longer term weeklies are showing some support, is it what is your history of feeling that you might not want to respect the longer term stuff until the daily turns up? Or would you say the daily is giving you a false signal and you should go with the longer term?
You should always go with the longer term. That's been my experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Because the longer term is not going to be as herky jerky as far as the trend is concerned.
It's going to be much more stable, Jimmy. You said it. You've been much more stable.
And the idea, if you have a big bullish stock like this, is to buy the darn dip, right?
Absolutely. You know, you decide what your risk is and buy the dip.
Well, we've both been around long enough to know that this next stock used to be the Microsoft of the stock market. This is IBM.
Now, there's some dead money in IBM.
Of course, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, here you go.
Everyone's starting to get in love with this thing again.
Well, sure. It's a beautiful chart. Look at it. Absolutely beautiful chart.
Yeah.
It's got all the important indications for bull trend. The channel is opening up. It's just absolutely beautiful.
And you went from 142 to 128, so you certainly had a nice opportunity to take a bite down there.
For sure. And very good technical action today right here. And pardon my...
Yeah. And like another classic case, if you like something and you see the longer, you know, the longer term averages are pointing up or whatever, and you get a big drop, you know, you take a shot and you defend it, right?
Well, that's where you have to determine, are you a trader?
Yeah.
Are we still live?
We a little broke up, but I can hear you now. You said you got to realize your time horizon. Are you a trader or are you a holder? What are you, right?
You're a trader or an investor or both. If you're both, no problem, but do it in separate accounts.
That's a good idea. So you don't get confused on what your objectives are. Exactly. Okay, next guy up is Roku. And this thing's obviously come down dramatically from the 480 area all the way down here to the 185 area. I guess the guy's trying to figure out is, have they beaten this dog enough that it's time to take a shot? ROKU?
Yep, got it right here. Hang on one second. Yeah, all of these internets, these COVID stocks, Roku, DocuSign.
Yeah.
They've all taken a beating. Okay, computer, cooperate. There's Roku. So this is the kind of a stock that you want to use divergence with. In other words, wait till you see momentum starting to turn higher while price is going lower. That's the momentum indicator at its best.
Can you just give a quick brief understanding of what the bottom half of the chart is showing?
The bottom half of the chart is the red line is Williams accumulation distribution. And the green line is a 57, that's 5-7 period, simple moving average of the red line.
And does that have something to do with up and down volume or?
The usual accumulation distribution indicator is volume based, but the Williams accumulation distribution is based on price.
Okay.
So as long as Williams remains below its moving average, you're still in the distribution phase. When Williams crosses above its moving average, you go into buy mode, but you need to have an accompaniment of two bars above the top of the channel. So when the stock turned bearish, it has remained bearish for the duration.
I got you. All right, let's go over the two telephone companies here. First one is AT&T. And, you know, that got slammed once they started changing their dividend policy around a little bit. And they're supposed to, again, I heard, change it again. This thing went from $40 down to 22. And obviously 22 was pretty low. And now it's bounced back up towards 27. And
it's actually a very beautiful looking chart.
Yeah.
So it remains in an uptrend. It's turned around. Who knows, maybe there may be better things to come, but right now it's still a very nice bull market.
Yeah, some people were thinking it could go into the mid-30s this year. So, and it does still pay a pretty high dividend. But again, that's supposed to be adjusted maybe in the summertime after some deal closes or whatever.
And but, let me point out something on the chart. You'll notice this low that's marked number two right over here.
Right.
It's lower low than this low right over here.
Right.
If you were to look at the momentum indicator, which I don't have on the screen right now, you'll find momentum actually did not make a new low. So you had a classic bullish divergence, new low in price without a new low in momentum. And that was the setup for this move right over here. In fact, next time we talk, we can do momentum charts.
Sure. And it's also a good sign, like you say, of exhaustion, because it, you know, because the relative strength and stuff is not confirming the low.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's turn to the Verizon. Yeah, VZ.
VZ, here we go. Basically similar chart.
Yeah.
We had
they're kind of in the same business a little bit.
Classic buy trigger, two bars above the top of the channel. Williams above its moving average. You buy the bottom of the channel and you're up, up and away. Classic bullish chart.
All right. Now, this guy here, Amazon, you know, really has been disappointing to a lot of people because, you know, had a big rally to 3,700 and then it's hasn't really been able to get out of its own way. But looks like on Monday it hit a pretty good level of 3,150 ballpark. Is it bargain down here?
I think in the long term, it's a bargain, but in the short term, I think it's dead water, dead money. Yeah.
More chop, chop, chop.
I think so. They had a great opportunity today. We'll see what happens when they come up to resistance, which is the red line over here, which comes at approximately 33.55. If we can overcome that, that'll be great. But you'll notice the last three opportunities to resistance and selling opportunities in every case.
Yeah, I mean, really, it might be a thing. You just leave it alone until it can get above 3,400. And then basically at that point, you have some concept that all of the trash is behind you kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, you certainly aren't going to go to 36 or 3,800 unless you can get through a whole bunch of, you know, longer term moving averages that converge at 3,400.
You know, the thing is, if you're a long term investor, you're going to go to the weekly or the monthly chart and you'll be a buyer.
Yeah.
But right now, as a short term trader, there's nothing here for me in the way of a buy.
Yeah.
There is actually in the way of a sell, which could be given an opportunity tomorrow at the top of the channel, but clearly Amazon remains in a downtrend.
Yeah. Well, here's another one that's had a big run up, but today it certainly didn't. It's Home Depot. And again, it's probably dealing with the fact that it's gone up so far. 420 seems to be a tough neighborhood for it.
So here it is. And it is now, interestingly enough, triggered a sell today.
Yeah.
As far as below the bottom of the channel, Williams below its moving average, which means it's a sell in the channel or the bottom of the channel. So it's definitely in a bearish trend.
Have you heard of this guy, Campbell Harvey, out of Duke University?
No, I have not.
He's a pretty sharp guy. And he was saying when you have inflation, you don't want to be involved in durable goods. And then there's some other people that are saying that consumer spending is going to shift from things like durable goods to experiences, which is travel and leisure, in the months ahead. That's obviously has nothing to do with technical analysis, but do you think that might be explaining why some of the travel stocks and entertainment stocks and whatever may start outperforming the Home Depots, the Lowe's, and all the durable goods type of places?
Well, I look at it a little differently. I'm thinking they're so way oversold, and with the probability that COVID's probably coming to a temporary end, there's some great bargains to be had there. People are going to want a relief, so I would call it a relief rally as opposed to anything else.
Mm-hmm. And they have the wherewithal to do it with the $1.9 trillion of excess capital in consumers' bank accounts. So they certainly got the money to go on a trip.
You know, you want to take a look at a stock like Norwegian Cruise Lines, NCL.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can get it up on the screen. NCL. I forgot the symbol. Norwegian.
RCLN?
No, it's NC. I've got it somewhere else. Well, people might
Norwegian Cruise Line. I was thinking of
Norwegian. Right. See, let's check it out. Hold on a second. I'm going to stumble around.
I got it at NCLH.
LH, there it is, right. It's an interesting stock. It's fairly cheap, but let's take a look at the chart. Mm-hmm. Notice what happened? It continues to go higher.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it has, is getting ready to give some buy triggers. So let's see what happens with this one.
Yeah, because it's that 21 area is important. And if it starts taking out 23, it looks like it's on the road, huh?
All we need to do is get Williams above its moving average because we've already got buy setups right over here. So these are all indications that we're bottoming. Yep. And so we shall see where it goes. But right now, I would not want to be short this.
No. And then I got an RSI hanging around 48. So we start blowing out 23. The RSI gets back above 50. It could be the start of something big.
What's next, Jim?
What's next is a drug stock, Pfizer, Pharma.
Here we go.
These guys have all these drug stocks have pretty low PEs, you know?
They do. Well, it's been a big, beautiful bull market, started right over here. We're strictly according to the rules. Every move to the bottom of the channel or lower has been a buying opportunity. This one is as well. So these are short-term swing trades. So Pfizer, excellent trade, intermediate term and short-term.
And that one number comes in right around 54, which was the low. And it looks like that's the beginning of turn.
That turn right over here at approximately, well, the low is right over here, Jim, 44.
Yeah, I was just talking about, well, on the right-hand side of the screen there.
Oh, I get you. Okay.
Yeah, the recent past, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Next one, a lot of people think is something to get involved in, Best Buy. And today it had a nice move.
BBY is the BBY.
BBY, yeah.
So here's Best Buy. So what do you got? What do you think?
Well, I was just thinking a little bit more strength and you could get something going. It's had a move up, it pulled back. And now if it can take out the 106, 107 area,
We do have a bullish setup right over here and we're waiting for a bullish trigger. So again, I think in this market, especially in January, where it's back and forth most of the time, be patient and wait for the opportunity, wait for the market to come to you, but don't chase.
Yeah. And this one has a kind of a mixed bag, but it had a big drop, 140 down to 95. So definitely cleared out a lot of longs with that kind of a drop.
Definitely cleared it out, sure.
Let's look at NLOK, Norton LifeLock. It's going somewhere.
Check it out. Clearly a bullish chart. Turned bullish right over here, strictly according to the rules. Two bars above the top of the channel. Williams above its moving average. Drop to support as a buy. Beautiful looking chart. I think it's going places. Yeah.
And of course, you brought up Hecla as something that looks like it's very constructive. SLV is the ETF for silver. And let's see how that looks.
Yeah, we can look at SLV or SIL, either one.
Yeah, might as well look at both.
Here you go. And still in bearish mode. We need to get two bars above the top of the channel. One thing that I want to look at is WPM, Wheaton Precious Metal. It's a much better stock.
Sure.
So let's bring up WPM.
Been around forever, too.
Yes, it has. Here's Wheaton. And again, still in bearish mode. And the SIL ETF for silver should also be in. Did I get the wrong one? SLV?
No, you just have to come down once. For some reason, Silvercrest Metals comes up, but that's on the Toronto. Yeah.
Still in bearish.
You have to click the one underneath it. So you put SIL, and then you get two choices. You got to click on the one that says.
You're right. Here it is right over here. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, pretty much the same chart. Still in bearish mode, but I do believe, based on the long-term charts, that silver will make a big move. And the one thing that I want to talk about before we forget about it, this is the first time in 17 years that commercials have been net long palladium. So if we look at an expensive stock like PALL, which is the ETF right over here, most people won't be able to afford this one, but it's ready to make a big move to the upside. And a cheaper one, SPPP, which is an ETF for platinum and palladium, $10 stock, definitely worth looking at.
Yeah, I know the SPP, that's for sure.
There it is. Hasn't turned bullish yet, but it did give us a bullish setup right over here. But we're still waiting for a turn right over here.
How about KGC, Kinross? I think it's Kinross. And, thought it was
Agnico Eagle.
I think it's KGC, isn't it?
KGC, sure. Kinross, yeah. Hold on.
Kinross, yeah. You know, it's one that I think if gold's going to go, it might be a good one to keep an eye on.
So
if it starts trading above 580 or 6 or something like that, you know, maybe something's happening.
Very similar chart. Yeah, still waiting for an opportunity. But again.
But like you say on the cheaper stocks, Jake, you made a great point. You know, a thing that goes from 5, you know, or so, let's just use 5. If it goes to 6, you know, that's going to be a 20% jump.
It's a lot easier for a stock to go from $5 a share to $20 a share than it is for a stock to go from $20 to $100.
Yeah. So, again, that's why we are looking at some of these. And Kinross has been around a long time. They're kind of a quality company, aren't they?
They are. And there's another one, EXK, which is a silver stock, I believe. Hold on one second. Let me bring it up on the screen. EXK. Endeavor Silver. Cheap stock. But trades good volume, and technically it's a good stock to own. So check it out today.
Yeah, off the record, as far as, you know, the technicals are concerned, you have an opinion on how everyone's talking Bitcoin is the new digital gold and nobody needs gold or silver anymore? I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
You know, I think Bitcoin, in fact, I think all the cryptos are a great big Ponzi game. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't matter to me. If it moves, I'll trade it. If there's money in it, I'll trade it. And I shouldn't really say that because my son works for a crypto company, a major crypto company. But again, he's tried to explain all this blockchain stuff to me. I just can't get it. I just don't get it. I don't get the NFT stuff. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Sounds like a playground for malfeasance, huh?
Well, in some cases, it probably is. But hey, you know what? The volume is there.
Yeah.
If I was willing to trade pork bellies, not knowing what they were.
Exactly.
I was willing to trade soybeans, never having seen a soybean before. Why shouldn't I be willing to trade Bitcoin, right?
Well, let's take a quick look at the crypto in the form of GBTC, which is for your Bitcoin. And then we'll look at Ethereum at ETHE and see if you have a feeling for it one way or the other.
So you want to look at the Bitcoin Trust?
Because obviously, you know, my view has always been when they drop 30 or 50% is where you bite the apple if you're going to bite it at all. And it's down about 30 or 50% now.
Yeah, well, here it is right now. I think we actually should look at Bitcoin itself. You want to do that or did you want to look at
Okay, Bitcoin? Is this going back a long way or yeah?
This is going back.
Because there's not much data on this. There should be more data on it.
There should be. Let's look at a different one. What do you want to look at?
ETHE. That's Ethereum?
I'm sure. Yeah, Ethereum. Let's check it out.
Right above that? Yeah.
Let me bring some more data into the picture. Hang on one second, Jim. Mm-hmm. There we go. So the trend is still clearly down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, you know, if you're a believer and you just want to buy it, obviously you're buying it at a lower price. But, you know, it's a little, you know, I mean, obviously oversold is relative. But, yeah, I mean, there's nothing really to hang your hat on.
The one thing I will say about the crypto markets, they're technically very beautiful.
Yeah.
They do conform to the major indicators very nicely. Mm-hmm. They're very predictable. And they follow the rules very nicely. So that's the one thing I would say in their favor. But as far as trading them is concerned, you know, I just don't get the fundamentals. It just makes no sense to me. But I've already said that a couple of times.
Yeah. Well, do you believe much in the Fibonacci numbers much? Because I'm looking at a move from like 16 or 20 up to 48. And maybe we've seen about a 60% drop, bringing it down to 24, 28.
I'm not a Fibonacci guy, so yeah. I can't speak to that, except, you know, it doesn't mean anything to me.
No, you have your own proprietary stuff. After all the years, you've created your own mechanisms, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we all have, right?
Yeah. Well, let's go to CrowdStrike here, and then we can get into some more specific ideas here. CRWD?
WD, here we go. And just like all the others, it's been down and out. And this is the time you want to take a look at those stocks and start using momentum divergence as an indicator. So again, it's going to be a buy very soon at some point, but right now you're still catching the falling knife. Mm-hmm. The thing that's most interesting is every time it's come up to the top of the channel here, it's been stopped like a brick wall. So we're approaching that brick wall again right over here. So I don't want to be interested in chasing this one. I think there'll be better opportunities later in the month in the same stock.
And yeah, you did have a divergence like you were talking about, though. On December 8th, we hit 185 and the RSI was around 38. And then we just hit 174 and the RSI was around 42.
Yeah, you are getting, there's definitely some divergence going on, no question.
Yeah, so that's good. Let's, before we go into any specific stocks that you're liking and stuff like that, can we do a around the world in the commodity sector? Because obviously your seasonality and your work is renowned in that area, so.
I do not have commodity symbols on this platform right now.
Oh, you don't? Okay. Well, just are you following many of them right now? In other words, in the grain area, you know, let's say we're just looking at soybean meal, soybean oil.
Yeah. We've seen some major lows in the grains. Mm-hmm. The charts look really good. We've seen some major lows in some of the others like cotton and cocoa bottoming right now. We're seeing bottom forming in sugar. All of these commodities are telling me we're going to get some more significant inflation, much more than what the Fed expects.
Right. And this price of energy is now comfortably above $80 a barrel. Your feeling on energy?
Still high. We're still in a bull trend right now.
Yeah. The people generally think we're in a structural shortage because These guys are returning cash to shareholders and they're not looking for oil. So obviously the supply demand dynamic could remain tight.
Well, sure, the fundamentals have definitely changed in favor of higher prices and should be interesting how this plays out.
Can you get TLT up there? Because there are some people who thought we saw a significant turn yesterday.
Yeah, we can look at TLT or TBT. I'll bring up the TLT right now. Here you go.
Because if it was a significant turn, maybe there is some opportunity, especially for a trader.
Yeah, well, the trend is still down. Mm-hmm. You can see a move into resistance today, but nothing really to get me that excited right now.
It might give you a bounce, but that might be about it, huh?
Let's look at TBT the other way around.
Sure, yeah, that might be the way to go.
Here we go. And the trend remains higher with support at the bottom of the channel, so TBT remains bullish.
With regards to the dollar, how are you feeling about that U.S. dollar? We're right around 96 area on the dollar index.
The dollar chart is a thing of great beauty. UUP for the dollar going up. Mm-hmm. Followed all the rules, finding a whole lot of support over here. So still very bullish on the dollar.
Way too early to take a shot at the euro or the Australian dollar or anything like that?
I think it's too early. Absolutely. I think the dollar still goes higher from here.
And if we were looking at the gold price, because realistically, we're plus or minus about $50 off of this 1800 number. I mean, is there anything that's giving you an idea that it will resolve one way or the other?
Seasonally, we shouldn't turn bullish in gold until late in the year. So right now, I don't see anything really that significant. But yeah. I think the gold mining stocks will actually lead bullion. So I'm going to take my cue off the mining shares.
And you will probably be involved in those before you'd be involved in a bullion.
Correct.
Yeah.
But the one thing I want to point out again is very important. Platinum and palladium, even though thinly traded, are definitely worth looking at, especially palladium. That's one of the most bullish charts I've seen in a long time. But you've got to wait for timing on some of these, because if you're wrong, it's going to hurt you pretty bad.
Yeah, well, platinum, you don't have any commodities up there, but the platinum is up $35 today.
Yep.
And, you know, it has had a hard time staying under 950. So
here's the platinum ETF.
Okay.
So, well, it's not an ETF, but it's an equivalent. And you've got a whole bunch of buy signals over here waiting to be confirmed. So if we get one more day like we had today,
yeah,
we will probably turn bullish on this cheap stock, which again, like as I said, is worth looking at because it could easily double or triple from here.
Yeah, the actual platinum is looking like it has a nice 1-2-3 formation in that it bottomed at 880, went up to 1,000, pulled back to 920, and now it has a lot of moving averages between 940 and 960, and it closed above it. And your RSI on the platinum is coming in at 49. So like you were saying, the stage is set. If we start going 980 or 1,000, and now your RSI goes through substantially the 50 number, I think you're very accurate that...
But you got one more super important indicator in platinum, and that is catalytic converter thefts are going up all over the country.
They are.
Oh, yeah. People are stealing those catalytic converters left and right. And so that's usually a sign of a bull market coming.
A couple of other stocks that people
we've had a request from the audience of SOXX, which is the iShares Semiconductor ETF.
Yeah, right.
And then after that, SPY.
Okay, sure. Here we go. Here's the SOX. You want the SOXX or?
SOXX, which would be the... Yeah. Semiconductor there, yeah. And that's the one that people want to know about, yeah.
It has actually turned bearish on my work. Mm-hmm. So again, we've taken out all support. We did have a nice rally today, but if we take out today's low, if we take out the low of 2 days ago, we're definitely negative. And the spider is a very similar chart right over here. Here's this SPY. Bring it up on the screen. And you can see again, the spider is definitely turned bearish. We've got multiple bars below the bottom of the channel. You've got Williams below its moving average. So it'll be super interesting to see what happens if we get back up to resistance. That should be tested in the next couple of days.
Excellent. Let me bring up Facebook because people are thinking it's good value.
So here's Meta right over here. So
FB.
We still want to use the FB symbol? Sure.
That's what I'm using to get it.
No problem.
And it looks like it's maybe it could be on its way somewhere right now.
Yeah, you know, it's clearly in a downtrend. I wouldn't want to own this one.
No?
Nope, not for me. Now, you know, going to the weekly chart, we will definitely see a different picture. So let me do that for a second.
Yeah, because right now it's at 334, but if it started trading 340 or above, it might be telling you a different story.
Well, let's check the weekly chart. One moment, please. Here we go. Days to weeks. Here we go. The weekly chart is also bearish. So I'm going to take one more step to the monthly, because the monthly will give me that long-term investment picture.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a second, please. Brand new computer and the mouse is not happy. Here we go. And the monthly chart, distinctly different. Check it out. Testing support for the last 3 or 4 months. Definitely a buy on the monthly. But remember, it's a buy and hold. We're not talking 1 or 2 weeks. We're talking 1 or 2 years.
Right. With regards to financials, they seem to be obviously having a good time of it. Do you think that's going to continue?
Yeah, I think as long as rates continue to go higher, they will continue to make more money. And did you want to pick up any questions in the chat?
Yeah, let's see. When do you know to switch from the daily MAC to a downtrend to an MOM divergence?
If you're in a stock, if you're looking at a stock that you've wanted to buy that's come down at least 50% from its high, that's when you want to switch to the daily divergence. And there are a lot of stocks that have done that.
Okay. David, do you see any others in the chat there?
Just a request for SLB.
That's a Schlumberger, and I've been in for months. It's a fantastic stock, SLB.
SLB oil, my oil drilling stock.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday too.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. Let's get back to the daily chart.
Tremendous upside if things keep going.
It's a good little stock. Hold on a second.
That's the one's been around forever, huh?
Yep. Let's go back to the weekly or the daily chart for just one moment, please. Hang on 1 second. And we'll go back to the daily chart. And here's the daily and Schlumberger. Come on, computer, cooperate with me. Hold on, please. Sorry about that little glitch here. Hang on, please. The computer's got a wardrobe malfunction. Let me try it one more time, please. Sorry about that, guys. It's not happy. Let's go to something.
Well, I was going to say one of your victory laps. Let's put that up. Southern Peru Copper, SCCO. You recommended this on the show here at $30 a share a year or two ago. And then basically it ran up to 85 almost. Then it recently pulled back to 55. Are you back to being a fan of SCCO?
Oh, definitely. So let me get it up on the chart here. 1 second.
Because this was something that you brought to everybody's attention, and it also paid a great dividend when you talked about it. So they've been getting a good dividend and appreciation at the same time.
Let's find out what's going on with my computer here. Mm-hmm. Southern Peru Copper. Let's check it out. There we go. Nice, beautiful little uptrend. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of other stocks in this category. Rio Tinto, RIO, BHP, FCX. These are all part of the same process. Mm-hmm. It's on the price of copper, in fact.
I mean, copper's got a great story too, because new mines are very difficult to open, and the demand for this stuff is very high. So it's not unlike oil, where they're not coming up with a whole lot more of it, and the demand seems to be pretty darn good.
And you've got to remember, the biggest buyer of copper in the world is China, and they're still back in the market again now.
Do you have any other stocks or anything that you're kind of looking at that you want to throw a couple of ideas out there?
Mainly the commodity stocks, such as commodity related stocks like Archer Daniels Midland.
Right.
Let me bring it up on the screen. Because after all, when grain prices are low and they load the boat and buy cheap grains and then sell that out at much higher prices, that's where they make their money. So ADM is a great stock. Look at that beautiful chart.
Wow. You've been talking about that since 30, 40 bucks a share.
Right. And there's the Andersons, A-N-D-E, which is another one that very few people know about, but it's got a very beautiful chart as well. Let me bring it up here. And there's BG, Bungie Grain. Let me bring it up. BG. I realize they're boring, but they make some pretty good money. And here we go. So these are all good looking charts, very, very strong bull trend, and they resisted the decline. So again, I think these are just beginning their moves. They've got a lot higher to go.
On the silver, do you ever look at any ones any other less expensive ones? You know, Pan America is pretty popular, but it's 23.
I showed EXK earlier today.
Uh-huh.
And let me show, I also want to show this, DBA, the agriculture ETF. Let me bring it up on the screen. If you think that grain prices are going higher.
Sure.
Or farm prices, let me bring it up on the screen here. DBA, agriculture ETF, which again is a boring, it's got no sex appeal, I know, but bottom line is it's got some pretty good base of support here, and it has turned bullish. So if you think we're getting some sort of a commodity price inflation, this is a good one to own.
This DBA, yeah, DBA, right. That's your multi-sector. Yep, exactly. Right. Yeah. So seasonality is obviously something you're expert at. And if you were looking to just give a ballpark idea of seasonality for some of the major markets, say on equities, what kind of seasonality are we looking at, do you think, in the next 3 to 6 months?
The key seasonality is based on the January high.
Okay.
Once January is over, if you get a weekly close in the Dow or the S&P above the January high, that tends to forecast a big bull market. A weekly close below the January low tends to do the opposite. So we want to wait until the month of January is over, because January basically is unpredictable in terms of seasonals. After the month of January, we tend to get the big moves in that closing above the high or the low.
So basically, you get a range in January, yep. And then as we go into February, you see which way it breaks, and you don't fight the tape.
Definitely don't fight the tape.
I mean, basically, that's what you're saying, basically. You know.
Yeah, no matter which way it breaks, you don't want to fight the tape.
With regards to interest rates, what are we looking at there for seasonality?
Seasonality would be higher. In fact, some of the cycles are bottoming late this year, so we will probably see higher interest rates until the end of the year, maybe two or three increases. But I don't think that's going to hurt the market too badly. We are overdue for those hikes.
Well, of course, we're not more. We've been around the block a few times. So when these people say they're raising rates, and you've been through the Volcker deal, you know, these people are a joke, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, they're at zero. Who cares if they hike three times? It's still going to be a 0.75 point.
No kidding. Absolutely.
So, you know, that's what people, you know, who don't have a long perspective don't understand, that this is free money, and it's like free money minus a 0.5 point. You know what I mean?
It's very meaningful to the bank stocks, because instead of ripping you off, they can rip you off a lot more.
Well, exactly, because they're still not going to pay anything on money market. You can forget about money market ever paying you. You know what I mean? But you think by Q4, whatever they've been doing might abate a little bit, because they probably have gone far enough for the time being.
Right. And let's not forget about this. We looked at the major averages, but let's not forget about the IWM, the Russell.
Sure. That's been under a lot of pressure, and it was a real false breakout, wasn't it, Jake?
That's right. That's right. And so the IWM is important.
To me, it looked criminal.
Yeah, let's check it out. Here's the IWM. A moment, please. And you can see what's happening. We've built this really beautiful base of support here.
Okay.
So if this base of support holds, we're going to go considerably higher, because they are way overdue for a correction back up.
Would you really like to see a 225 to 227 print before you got on the conga line here, though?
Yeah, I think we would. But in actuality, as long as we get Williams to go above its moving average, we'll be fine. So people really should look at that indicator. It's Larry Williams accumulation distribution. Not to be confused with the usual distribution, normal accumulation distribution, which is volume based.
Right.
So check out the IWM. I think it represents some good value over the intermediate to longer term.
Yeah. And small caps.
Small caps. And we didn't look at the Qs. So let's look at the Qs for a second.
You know, people are bad mouthing the Qs because they put Lucid in there, and Lucid is kind of goofing up the Qs, is what they are saying.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Let's go. Here's the Qs. And again, you can see the Qs have definitely given a sell. We looked at it earlier with the semiconductor index.
Yeah.
So you definitely triggered a sell. This is a whole area here is major resistance over the next week or two. So don't be surprised if we see a lot of this crazy back and forth like we've seen in the last 2 days. Great opportunities for traders, but headaches for investors.
And the metals, you pretty much are thinking that it's a sometime after August kind of a situation?
I think a little bit sooner than that this year, because I think the metals are way, way underrated.
Yeah, they are. And they're underinvested at this point, too.
True.
Not dissimilar to the oil.
Well, as long as people are convinced that Bitcoin is digital gold, they're not going to want to own gold.
Right. Nothing like a bull run, though, to get them changing their tune, right?
Ain't that the truth? And again, when I say take your lead from the gold mining and silver mining shares,
yeah,
not from the stocks themselves.
With regards to agriculture, you know, they're seasonal big time. And, you know, we go into, the April, May planting season. And then how do you think things might pan out this year as we get through the winter? You know, what are you thinking there seasonally?
I think demand is high. We've seen that from the way they've come back up again. We've had this crazy bull market in oats. We've got a bull market going on in corn. We've got a big bull market going on in soybean meal. So these are all buys for the intermediate to longer term. And of course, the weather has been so crazy and unpredictable, it's going to affect the crop
condition. Yeah. I mean, South America, I don't know what they're doing to their climate down there, but their weather in the last 2 years has been very wild, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the U.S. dollar seasonally?
U.S. dollar is still in a bull trend. We showed the UUP chart. Let me bring it up on the screen again here. So UUP is the ETF, the dollar going up. And here's the chart. But again, the currencies are much more of an intermediate term market. So the real sensibility is to take the weekly chart for the dollar, which I'm going to change to right now. So just bear with me. I apologize for not being as good at this software program as I would ordinarily be. But I like this program a lot. It's Wealth Charts. Let me go to the weekly chart, which will show the dollar trend much more. One moment, please. Daily and the weekly coming right up. Come on, computer. Here we go. And that is one big, beautiful chart right there.
Mm-hmm.
So the dollar still looks higher.
And one last thing on international investing. Do you watch anything with China? Because, I mean, that's beaten so down. And EM, emerging markets, they're at their best valuation to the U.S. stock market since 2005. So there's certainly undervaluation over there to some degree. But do you follow that at all? And do you have any opinion on either emerging markets or China?
I like all the emerging markets. I think they're way overdone on the downside. China as well. Unfortunately, I have a trust issue with China. So you're much better off buying an index than you are buying an individual stock.
By a diversified EM thing.
Correct.
Because if you pick the wrong one over there and China decides to put the clamps down on it, you're going to be very unhappy, right?
Not only that, I don't trust their accounting. Their accounting practices are just not trustworthy.
Right. Well, I wanted to just repeat what one of the guests or one of the attendees are saying. They said, thanks, Jake. I'm a big fan of your methods and work. I've been able to do much in the markets as a result of them. So there's a big thank you out there, which I wanted to read to you. And I certainly, always think it's a huge pleasure and a real, real good luck that we get to hear from you. So before we sign off, sometimes you have webinars, sometimes you have other stuff going on. Can you outline how these people could get a hold of you and what you have coming up?
I have this. Let me put a link in the chat. Hang on. So if you go to this link, you'll be able to sign up for my next presentation, which will be at Wealth Charts 365 in a couple of days. And I'm going to be doing two presentations, and hopefully my voice will have returned by then. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, everybody's got a little bit of that going on. It's wintertime, right?
Yeah, at least it's not COVID. I'm still alive. Yeah.
Thank God for that, right?
Yes, little favors.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Jake, for being here. As far as optionprofessor.com is concerned, we've got a couple of portfolios that you can get access to, a stock bond and option portfolio and a swing trading portfolio, by simply going to optionprofessor.com, and you get all the details there. So we appreciate everybody to check that out as well. Jake, again, we got to do this again, and hopefully we can do it at least quarterly so we can keep on top of things as things change. You gave some fantastic information, and people should definitely go to your website and get in contact with you so you can expand on some of the stuff we just touched on. You know what I mean?
Thanks, Jim, and thanks, David, for hosting us. Really appreciate the great opportunity. And as I say, my voice will be back by the next time we talk.
All right. Good health, and we'll talk to you later.
Bye, everyone. Take care. Happy New Year.
All right. Thanks, guys. Just a quick reminder for everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast app. And you can also just go to timingresearch.com. The post at the top of the page right now will become the archive for today's event. So you can review that whenever you want. And I just want to thank my guests again for today. Jake Bernstein of trade-futures.com and the Option Professor of optionprofessor.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, David. Take care.
Thanks, Jake.